Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 639, Emma Johnson, author of The Kick-Ass Single Mom.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Welcome back to So Money, everyone. It is Monday, October 16th, 2017. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Our topic today is single motherhood and how to make it work financially, romantically, professionally. Our guest today is an expert on all of those fronts. Her name is Emma Johnson, and she has been a guest on this show before as the founder of WealthySingleMommy.com. She's built an incredible community, an empire, really, around single motherhood and how to make the most of it. Emma, thanks to the popularity of her blog, has a new book out now. It's called The Kick-Ass Single Mom: Be Financially Independent, Discover Your Sexiest Self, and Raise Fabulous, Happy Children. Emma was first on So Money on episode 298, talking about her blog. Now she's back talking about this book and the advice that it gives to mothers on how to build their own wealth, ignite romance, and raise great families. I think it's actually something that all parents can learn from. It's not just a Bible for single mothers. I think it's got some really great rules for all of us who have children. Here we go. Here's Emma Johnson. Emma Johnson, welcome back to So Money. Author Emma Johnson, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to join your club.
I have been waiting for this book probably since we met. We met a few years ago, and I understand in reading your book that the kick-ass single mom was more or less an idea that you had even before you were a single mom, when you were married and you were at a book writing workshop, and this was something that you were fascinated by before it really became a personal issue for you. So, and thank you for mentioning me in the book. I understand that I'm a resource for you.
Yeah. Oh, you have. I loved your book. Yeah. So it is. It's so funny. I had this buried memory. I've been a single mom myself for, geez, like 8-9 years now. And I've been full. I have had my blog, Wealthy Single Mommy, for 5 years. So I've been very immersed in this whole trend of single motherhood and what it means. I mean, deep diving into it. But it wasn't until I started writing my book last year, that I realized. I had this buried memory that when I was married, but I had not yet become pregnant or become a mom. And I had this idea for a book about single motherhood. I was raised by a single mom, and I had always been fascinated by how that had shaped me, how this whole new generation of divorce that happened in the 70s and 80s, which I'm a product of, my parents got divorced in that surge, how that affected this whole other generation of kids and how it was affecting us now that we were becoming adults and parents. So I just really feel like I have kind of met what I'm supposed to be doing at this stage of life, and just kind of owning this space of single motherhood.
Isn't life funny like that?
Oh, so funny. It's so weird, but you just gotta go there.
If you had written the book, 10 years ago, how would it have been different compared to the book that you wrote today? Would it have covered, in other words, what has perhaps surprised you or come to your realization that's new and interesting that the book 10 years ago would not have necessarily mentioned or included?
Well, if I wrote it 10 years ago, it would have sucked. Whereas I think my book, The Kick-Ass Single Mom, is, I'm very proud of it. I mean, look, that was just sort of an academic journalistic pursuit. It was personal because it was coming from my own childhood experiences. That was kind of the nut of it. But here, I mean, being a single mom, and then, now it's like, I'm so immersed in this. I've had my blog. I've got this really deep online community. I really know all the research, all the statistics. This is my full-time job now. This is what I've been doing for the last year and a half, full-time, part-time for many years before that. So, I mean, it's really my real passion. This is because I've lived it. I've lived as a child of single motherhood, and I've lived it as a single mother myself. And also, I feel like I would have always only been really looking backwards so much. My point of reference was those years, the 70s, 80s, 90s, as I was coming up. Whereas now the story about single motherhood is so different and really much more positive than those years. And so the story that I tell is a very much a positive one and a promising one, because the opportunities that women have today is completely different and better than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Right. In the first place, you can get a divorce and be okay. It's like before, people stayed in unhappy marriages, mainly women did, because they felt there was no better option, financial option, and so they stayed. First, for all of us listening, define kick-ass single mom.
Oh, a kick-ass single mom. It's somebody that's living your life on your own terms. It's really a call to action. I feel that we are in the middle of a revolution for women overall, and definitely for single mothers. Single mothers are no longer just divorced. In fact, 57% of millennial moms are unmarried. Divorce rates are at an all-time low. So I was very conscious of that. While I am a divorced mom myself, and my parents were divorced, the single mom today that's becoming a mom, she was never married in the first place. The idea of the two-parent, heterosexual, married, nuclear family, that's a statistical minority in the United States. So family overall in this country is telling a totally different story. So it's really about embracing family on your own terms, embracing that your family is whole, no matter what it looks like. If you're a single person, a married person, single mom by choice, gay, your family is whole as it is today. It means that you are currently or pursuing financial independence, because that is the best financial security, is the best thing that we know. There's a lot of research. We know that's the best thing for children, is the best thing for financial security, not only for women, but for our economy overall. We need women to be working and earning and taking responsibility for their personal finances. And it also means that you are writing the rules of romance, that you are out exploring your romantic needs and your sexual needs in a way that is healthy and that feels good to you. And you're not adhering to old norms that are simply sexist and don't work for most women.
This book was very much personal for you. And tell us a little bit about your experience entering single motherhood. And this was not something that you anticipated. I think most people would say that too. Like, no one expects to get divorced. No one expects to become a single mom, but there it happens. And you were hesitant to even talk about your experience until you started the blog. And even when you initially started the blog, it was more about from a journalistic reporting perspective. At what point did you decide, I want to tell my story, and tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, well, you know what? My blog has, I do talk a lot about my own personal experience, but I think the story that you're going for is, I kind of clench up right now talking about it because it was so painful. And the most I've ever written about it is in the book, posted my blog or my podcast. So briefly, I'm married to a nice guy. We had the kid, and he had an accident. It was just this sort of freak accident that he had when he was on the job. He was in Europe. He fell off a cliff, actually, and suffered a traumatic brain injury. And it was just this horrible, horrible thing that happened to our family and especially to him. And I didn't know anything about brain injuries at that time, but I've learned a lot about them since. And the fact that he's even alive is just a miracle, if you believe in miracles. And then that today he is so far in his recovery. I mean, he's working full time and very involved with the kids, but there was many years in the interim where he had a major personality change and he has a disability, and it was so hard. It was a huge loss. I mean, our marriage just, I mean, it ended our marriage. But, you know, it would be very tidy story if I said, oh, it was wonderful. Everything was perfect. And then this horrible accident happened and our marriage ended, and that nothing's that neat, right? It was a hard marriage. It was a very hard marriage, and it was wonderful, but it was hard. And you know, I have gone on to find my path, and he's on a different path. I know I'm speaking in generalities, but the reality is those years after that injury, we were together part of it, and then we were separated and eventually divorced. And my son was born after the accident. My daughter was tiny. They couldn't have been smaller. It was so unbelievably painful and confusing. There's just no precedence. I eventually found a support group for people in my situation, loved ones, people with brain injuries. But before that, I felt so unbelievably alone because, yes, lots of people get divorced with young children. Yes, lots of people have their spouses with, you know, chronic illness, but a brain injury is so singular and just unpredictable. The changes that people go through are always so negative. It was just unprecedented of anything I've ever gone through. And I have to tell you, it was so hard to write that. The introduction is very long in the book and it's all my story. And it was so hard for me to write. And when I was doing my audio recording of the book recently, and I just lost it, like reading it out loud, it was so hard to go back there. Yeah. So on one hand, I'm shy about saying it because it's so painful, but it's also, you know, I kind of like to speak to single moms and connect, and it's such an unusual story in one way. But on the other hand, I've learned that it's not so unusual that a partner has a dramatic change, whether it's a psychotic break or they do something completely out of character that you can't predict. And, you know, in that way, my story has a lot of universality to it, I have found. Just women married to people that they ultimately didn't know, which I think is part of the human story. We ultimately don't really know each other fully ever.
Right. Wow. Well, I am very happy to, in reading your introduction, I mean, it was a, heart-wrenching story, though it sounds like the two of you are friends again and co-parenting, which is unbelievable in some ways, given the stress and challenges that you both went through. So I think that's very commendable, Emma, for you and for him.
But, you know, it is. And I am proud of that. And I'm, again, that is not a perfect story. We just had a text meltdown last week. We're still covering form. It's long. Life is long and it's hard. But I have become a huge advocate for shared parenting, where both parents are expected to have equal time with the kids, both be equally financially responsible for the kids. And that requires, so it's a cultural shift where we give women the freedom from having to be the sole or primary caregivers. And we also empower women to be equal earners for themselves and their families. And it is, I'm telling you, I have been the almost entire primary caregiver of children. And I am in a situation now where I feel like I really have a co-parent. And the benefits of it are like night and day. I'm going to get upset talking about it because it's so wonderful to be able to get along with my ex. You know, just stupid stuff. Like yesterday, he was picking the kids up from school. That's huge because that meant I worked a long day and I made money. Right. My daughter needed to go to the orthodontist. I hate doing that kind of crap. He took her. I forgot to put the headgear in her backpack. And so he went across my neighborhood and picked up the headgear. Those, if you have a partner to manage these little things and then to talk about the big things, to be at the sideline at the soccer game and to talk and chat and have a nice vibe. It's
good for the kids too.
It shows children forgiveness and partnership and love. I mean, I've known my husband for 15 years. I mean, he knows me for better or worse, not to use a marriage euphemism, but like when I'm like, oh my God, my mom is, I mean, he knows why my mom drives me crazy. I don't have to explain it to him. He is an old, old friend. It's complicated and it's hard, but it is worth it. It is worth the work to go there.
Your subtitle for the book is Be Financially Independent, Discover Your Sexiest You, and Raise Fabulous, Happy Children. Being financially independent tops all the other subtitles. Was that intentional?
Yeah, it is. It is my number one message to women, because if you are dependent, if you are putting a lot of energy into money coming from somebody else, and specifically an ex, somebody that you are not romantically entangled with, somebody that you have a separate household from, you are dependent and you will never live to have your full potential as a person, as a woman, as a mother.
What are some ways that single moms can achieve financial independence? Let's talk very specifically, because let's say you were a mom who wasn't working during the marriage or was working a little, or suddenly maybe you were working, but now you're the single earner and you have to now make more. So how do you get to that place? How did you get to that place?
Right. Well, that was my story. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this, because I know how absolutely horrible it feels to be dependent on somebody else's income. And my story, my ex made the money. Before we had kids, I had been a freelance writer, journalist, for a couple of years. And I did well for myself. I only did that for 2 years. And I think in my second year, I made $100,000, which I was very proud of. And then we had babies and we both assumed that I would stay home full time because that's what's good for babies, even though I now know there's a lot of research that completely counters that. But I went there like so many women did. But you want to know what? My husband was very adamant that I be home full time. Like the kid needed me full time. That was his position. And it was one of the many points of contention in our marriage, because I couldn't have articulated why at the time, but I could not let my career go. I never 100% went full time home. And I remember I had a nanny for like 12 hours a week and I kept my freelance writing business going. Well, fast forward a year, my daughter was just over a year old when the accident happened. And I just kind of knew that he had this big job and these really great benefits. I just knew that that wasn't going to work long term. Like whether we stayed together as a couple or not, he was not able because of his disability to keep this big job. I knew it. So I'm like, holy smokes, here we go. And I just got the childcare and I went full time. So I there was that time and he was like, you know, kept threatening to leave. And I'm like, oh my God, he has all the money and he's not giving me any. And it was horrifying. My entire life and my baby's lives were attached to somebody who was unstable and had control of the money. And that is such a common story with women. And I want to save every single woman in the world from that feeling. So these are my lessons. I don't care if you are a single mom, you're thinking about being a single mom, whatever, you are into your single motherhood and are broke. This is what you do. You decide that you are going to do this on your own. And I don't care if the law tells you that you are entitled to money or your lawyer or your family, your friends are telling you to take him to money court for all he's worth. No, the best gift you can give yourself, your children and everybody that's watching you, the people in your office, your neighbors, other women, is to be financially independent. Just make that commitment. And Farnoosh, for the record, of all the child support that is owed, only 40% is paid. And the average sum is less than $300 per month. So what happens is that women end up fighting. They fight in courts for this money. They spend a lot of negative energy either keeping their income low enough so they're entitled to more child support. They are complaining to their friends and family about what a jerk they are. And it becomes a huge source of conflict between two co-parents who really need to be getting along. So over what, right? So what if we took all that negative energy, all of that fighting and let it go and focus on earning as much as you can? Okay, so that's it. Commits to financial independence. Number two.
Oh, well, hold on 1 second.
Yes.
A settlement is nice, right? And what if your husband is totally in the wrong or your partner is totally in the wrong and you deserve, I mean, I get what you're saying. Yes, go pursue your financial independence. That should happen no matter what. But really, we should just give up on the court proceedings and the money that could potentially help you. You may or may not get it, but it's not worth the fight, you're saying.
Well, at some point you have to cut your losses, right? I mean, so what happens? You spend all, because it is so arduous to go to court. It's not just that, oh, you go for an hour, you know, every couple of months. No, you are thinking about that. You're having arguments in your head about that. You're maybe paying a lawyer for it. You're complaining to your friends about it. Little things come out when you're talking to your kids about their dad that you later regret. It is not just about you. You can be legally entitled all you want, but what do you really want for yourself? And sometimes you have to let that go. You just have to let it go. You get where you put your energy, right? Sometimes you're so right, you're wrong, you know? And here's the thing. And we could talk about, so shared parenting has become a real passion of mine, as I said. So both parents having equal time with the kids, right? So if that's happening, why should anybody be paying anybody child support? If both parents need to have enough real estate for the kids to have space to stay, everyone's paying for food and activities. Yeah, you need to divide up things like childcare and health insurance and extracurricular activities. Certainly, those need to be, but that's not child support. That's the kids' expenses that have an actual dollar sum on them. But why should anybody be paying for part of your rent or the kids' food if they're also sharing in those expenses at their house? So we really need a total paradigm shift. Right now we are stuck in a very, very old equation, which again is rooted back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s when we started having divorced families en masse. And that was when women didn't have economic opportunities. When, like Farnoosh, you and I, we go out and we make a lot of money and we have so many rights, political rights and economic rights and access to capital. Women couldn't even have credit cards until 1973. So when we had alimony and child support laws, those saved women and children from the streets. Those were great feminist coups. The world is different today, but we're still stuck in this idea. When families separate, the moms get the kids, the dads pay, and then we are stuck in old, old gender roles. And it's time to change that. It's just time.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution. More knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. The weather's getting warmer. As I record, it's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/somoney. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy, you want a bra that's comfortable, you can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. You share something very interesting. When I was writing my book, When She Makes More, I was curious to learn more about the dating landscape for women who were their household breadwinners. And a lot of household breadwinners, as we know, are single moms. You had mentioned that it was a benefit to you to be someone who was financially independent as far as the, you know, dating quality guys. Can you expand on that for us? And is that still true?
Oh, it totally is. Oh, you want to know something so interesting? Here's a sneak preview. I'm going to have to write about this on my blog. Somebody bunch of women started a thread. I had this really active Facebook group called Millionaire Single Moms. I think there's like 10,000 women in there now. And it's for women that think big. I don't care how much you make, but you have to be committed to your own financial success. Anyways, these women were talking about apparently a lot of single moms refuse to date men whose first wives were stay-at-home moms. And the reasons are one, this is them talking. They believe that these men are spoiled because they never had to take care of themselves or any like personal logistics. And two, they feel the men don't get these single moms, because the single moms are out there killing it. They're taking care of their careers and take care of their kids, and they're living these full lives. And they feel that the men are intimidated or not accommodating to these really dynamic women's lives. So I think there's all something to that. I think that's very interesting. But my personal experience, I have had a lot of success with men that like me, and the fact that I do have a lot going on professionally and financially. I've had a really wonderful boyfriend since the beginning of the year, so 8-9 months now. And he's pretty bitter about the fact that his ex-wife wasn't bringing in money, and that's a very common story. Nobody's ever paid a nickel of alimony in the history of divorce and has not ended up really angry about it. So when they see a woman that's taking care of her business, they tend to be really appreciative of that.
Man, I'm so with you on that. Like, I think if there's nothing else we learned today talking to Emma Johnson, whether you're single mom, married mom, not married, married, no kids, whatever your circumstance, if you're a woman, you should be earning some money. Maybe not the most money in the relationship, but earn your money, right? I mean, like, you have to. And it's not because you expect to get divorced. It's not because you don't want to be financially independent just because you might need to support yourself independently one day, but because that also is a win for you while you're married. Autonomy is a beautiful thing, financial autonomy, you know?
Oh my gosh. If you don't have your own money, you have no power. You have no power, you know. So this is something that I mentioned your wonderful book, Farnoosh, in my book. It's a big book author orgy. but it was around a point that I made. So in my marriage, you know, from the outside looking in, and I thought that I was successful professionally. But the minute my marriage ended, my professional and financial success just skyrocketed. And it shook my self-confidence in a way, because I realized that I had a lot of pent up success. I was keeping myself back for the sake of my marriage. My ex-husband's a very masculine man, and I like that. Like this, I'm not blaming him one bit. That takes two, and we both participated in this dynamic. He's Southern European, and he had this big glamorous job. He is a network cameraman, and he traveled all over the world, and he's just this macho guy. And he was, you know, chivalrous and generous, and he totally would smother me with like very romantic traditional things. And I like that, but that came with that. I think on a very unconscious level, I knew that if I made a nickel more than him, it would challenge, if not unravel, my marriage. And I remember there was this moment when you get divorced, everybody is at their worst. Everyone says all the things that they were too polite to say during the marriage. And because it's everything, it's a free for all of horribleness. And so one of the horrible things that came out, I remember him saying, he's like, "You are so scared because you are such a loser. You know that you can't make this on your own. You are so dependent on me. You only made $100,000 once, 1 year." And I was like, "Yeah, because you made more means that I was a loser." Like, that was the dynamic that he wanted to perpetuate.
It was a lose-lose situation for you, Emma. You were a loser if you made less. You were a threat if you made more.
Exactly. And that's not unique to me. And this is the thing. You've done such an awesome job documenting all the challenges when women make more. But what I think is happening is that inside of marriages, or even outside of marriage, when women are dating, or, you know, whether they're in a relationship or single, that they hold themselves back unconsciously, or maybe even consciously.
There's data around this. Yeah, no, it was in my book, and it's great to hear that you also have maybe not great. I mean, it just sort of, we don't want this to perpetuate. But the fact is that at least for women who are married to men who make more, if they feel like them earning more is a threat to the marriage, like it was, that's like how you felt, they will hold themselves back. They won't go for that promotion. They won't start that business or ask for a raise because they put marriage before money and their own money and their own financial and career well-being, which is, I think, counterproductive at the end of the day. Because as studies also show, when there is income fragility in a household, when only one person is making the bulk or all of the money, that actually leads to more divorce.
Oh my gosh. And that is, I feel, and it's so insidious because, I mean, my experience is, I think, so telling, I mean, I like to think I'm a pretty evolved person and I was having success. Like I had bylines in all of these major publications, and from the outside looking in, you would never have guessed that I was muting myself. But like I said, I mean, and part of it too, and this is a big message I want to share with all the women out there who are single moms or are facing single motherhood or maybe fantasizing about it, is that this is what I see time and again in these women, is that they are so afraid and leaving a relationship, a marriage or a relationship. They're so afraid of being poor. Every single one of you you are afraid of being poor. Everybody is. But they have such success. And it's that fear is so valuable. Do not avoid the fear. The fear propels women to do incredible things, and they go on to have such incredible success. And it is beautiful, and it happens. It's not random, weird, like off cases. This is like everyday normal occurrence. Women leave unhappy romantic situations and they go on to find their greater selves.
Is there something, a complexity as a single mom that you have yet to figure out a solution for?
That is a great question. I wish you'd asked me that before we talked, because I would have thought about it some more. A complexity.
Or a challenge, or a question somebody has asked you in your experience as the creator of Wealthy Single Mommy that you feel still could use some more better strategy or help, that there maybe isn't enough support around a particular thing for single moms.
Yeah. Well, okay. For women overall. Okay. A few thoughts. So like one is that if we could get universal childcare in this country, that would be good for every family, every woman, every child, every man. That would be the deal changer. Farnoosh, you and I live in New York City, and I just heard that our universal pre-K program is going to universal three, going to age three. And it's, ooh, like, if we can, yes, I just read that interview with Bill de Blasio. So if we can somehow perfect this model in New York and take it nationally, my original fantasy was that Hillary was going to get elected and then call me, even though I have like zero experience with public programs or childcare, call me personally. And I was going to like spearhead universal childcare in America, but we'll work on that. So that
it's always 2020.
Yes. And this is a woman's problem. But what I hear women say often is like, oh my God, I need to be home with my kids. Childcare is expensive, but I need to earn more money. And that's the paradox. And that's true for all moms and super intensified for single moms. And my answer to that is hire the childcare. I'm so grateful for all this research that's coming out, even in the last few years. So a couple of years ago, the University of Maryland, they did one of these meta studies where they looked at 35 other peer-reviewed published studies, and they found universally that after age two, it does not matter how many hours a parent spends with their children. Mm-mm. Yes, it does not matter. It's quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that again, because this, I feel, is the most important gift that we can give women. After age two, it does not matter how many hours you spend with your child. There is so much pressure to be the Donna Reed, June Cleaver, and spend copious amounts of time with your kids. That serves no one. It keeps women shackled to their homes. It keeps them financially dependent, and that perpetuates for the rest of their lives. And the other piece of research that is so critical, it was Kathleen McGinn at Harvard, and she looked at families in 25 countries around the world. This is not specific to the U.S. 25 countries around the world, and found, they studied families where there was a mom that was home full time, and then families where the mothers worked outside the home for pay. And across the board, the daughters of the moms who worked outside the home fared better academically. They went on to earn more and achieve more and higher levels of management than their peers who had stay-at-home moms. The boys did just as well academically and professionally, but were more likely to care for others in their home. So as even boys and grew up to be men, they were more likely to care for young children or older people that lived in the home. And both groups were equally happy. So we know that the best thing for children is for mothers to be working outside the home and not to be spending copious amounts of time with them.
Well, I think it's also that mothers need to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. I have yet to meet a stay-at-home mother who is, you know, so elated to be home. I mean, maybe in the beginning, but after a while, it gets redundant and boring, and she misses out, whether it's just, you know, her social life, her professional life. I remember being at an event, a birthday party, and a mom of twin boys said to me, you know, how's work? And I said, great. I said, how's work for you? She goes, well, I've been home since they were born, and now they're three, and my brain has turned to mush. And that was a very awkward, like, what do you say from there, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to go get some cake, you know, because, and I feel like there is this whole society of stay-at-home moms that are crying out for help. And some of them love what they're doing. Some of them love it. And I think they're my heroes, because I don't think I could ever say that I love staying at home all day, every day with my kids. I think I would go crazy.
Well, they don't. Statistically, women are more prone to depression.
Yeah.
Being angry. Women want to work. Like, they want to work. They might want to work part-time, but they want to work and they want to have their own money. There's so much research around this. So I don't care what they're saying. That word, like, words are meaningless to me.
Yeah.
We know, you know, it's so funny. Farnoosh is like, have you ever read The Feminine Mystique?
Yes.
I never did until recently. You could have written that book today. We learned nothing. Ready for Dawn in 1963 melted everyone's minds, because those housewives in the 60s who were supposedly so happy were all like, they're strung out on barbiturates and like 2 o'clock cocktails because they were miserable.
We get really, and we could go on for another hour talking about the mixed messages that women get from media and family and society and even their own inner voices. Like, we know what makes us happy, but we have all these headwinds. For example, something as simple as Food Network, you know, like, I want to make all those dishes, but I don't have time. And sometimes I feel like the, you know, the housewifery stuff is still so much a part of what is fed to households and women as something to aspire to, you know, make that beautiful Thanksgiving dinner and have your house be super clean. And these women who are doing it all, and that doesn't exist, and those women aren't happy. And yet that's kind of what we feel there's pressure to do. And then, of course, if you come from a traditional family, a culturally traditional family, there's that pressure of what a man should be doing and what a woman should be doing in a marriage. And so we have these very conflicting messages. And by the way, it takes time for our primitive brains to conform and adapt, right?
We're talking about
like millions of years of conditioning, living a certain way, having a certain lifestyle expectation. It's not just, even though like society and the data is showing that we'd be happier another way, like, it just, and we get it. The intelligent mind is like, I understand. I'm there. I'm with you. I want that. But it's slow moving. And well, that's why your book is going to be, your book will be The Feminine Mystique in 50 years.
I hope so. But I will say though, I will challenge one thing that you just said. We're not fighting against millions of years of evolution. We are really just fighting from our own personal paradigm. So one thing to keep in mind, like, when we're fighting all this mommy guilt, working mom issue, women have always been financially critical to their households. And today, still in the world, women are working along men in fields. They're running small businesses. with their families or not. They might not have financial rights. They might not have legal rights. They might not be getting a paycheck because that is not culturally the norm or legally possible where they have or do live. They, or historically, women are running households when that was manual labor. Today, it is not manual labor because of technology. We are not beating our clothes on rocks in the river. We have automatic washing machines. We don't even need to vacuum anymore because we have Zumbas. All of that has been outsourced, and housework is not a full-time job anymore. So really, but I do very much appreciate, like, our points of reference are our childhoods and maybe stories from one generation back and media messages. And they are hard. Yeah. I mean, I bought into it myself. I mean, that's probably why I'm so passionate about this, because I'm like deeply angry at myself for buying into this. And not everybody is nerds like you and me that research this stuff all day long. You know, it's people are human, very much to your point.
Emma Johnson, thank you so much for being a role model, being a thought leader and a guide for all women out there, really not just single moms. I think that whether, again, you're married or about to get married, it's important to know how to be financially independent, how to still raise fabulous, happy children and be your sexiest you. I think that this book could be the kick-ass woman, you know, not just the kick-ass single mom. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Farnoosh. I enjoyed this as usual.
Thanks so much to Emma for coming on the show. If you'd like to check out her book, again, it's called The Kick-Ass Single Mom. And her website is wealthysinglemommy.com. She's also on Twitter at Johnson Emma. All this information is back at SoMoneyPodcast.com. If you missed any of it and you want to download the podcast, the transcript, or send me an email for the Friday episodes, if you got a question for me about money, about career, about single motherhood, just click on Ask Farnoosh at the top right, and you can either leave a voicemail or leave a little note, and I will add it to the queue for Friday's episodes. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.